Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Second half's getting underway all around the country, I suppose. Probably not at Ibrox, Andrew McLean, where it has been an incident-packed first 45 for you.
Yeah, it's been a really, really dramatic game so far. There was that early scare, of course, for Rangers. Dundee scoring Amadou Bakayoko within the first few minutes of the game. But after that, Rangers really kicked into life. They looked sharp from an attacking sense. A much-needed goal for Cyril Dessers, especially with Danilo out injured for an extended period of time. Dessers could really do with hitting some goal-scoring form, with Kamar Roof waiting in the wings as well. And then to make it 2-1, it is a clear penalty as well. People love to debate these ones, but you've got to say it is just silly from Aaron Donnelly in this incident, because Abdallah Sima is rising high for the header, he's going for the ball, he's jumping, but he's just been dragged down by his shirt by Aaron Donnelly. Kevin Clancy had no choice after going to the screen to give it. Then Abdallah Sima himself, the outright top goal scorer in the Premiership, he's shown his strength again in the air. This time it was the James Tavernier corner. He rose high, towering header into the top corner, and at that point in the game you really thought that Rangers could kick on in the second half and would look good for maybe scoring 4, 5, 6 in this match, because they looked dominant over Dundee. They certainly looked to be hitting their stride, but Philip Clement will be really frustrated by that red card for Jose Cifuentes, and they'll be really tested in this second half with 10 men, because it looked as if it would be a pretty straightforward 3 points, but it will be a big test of the character and the quality of these Rangers players. But it's not even for the next 45 minutes that I think Philip Clement will be concerned. Not that he'll be thinking about it right now, but if you think of the longer term effects of Jose Cifuentes now being out with a ban, because Rangers don't have Nicholas Raskin, he's still out injured. They don't have Ryan Jack, he's still out injured. Tom Lawrence as well, he was a player who was filling in that midfield role, but once again he's picked up another injury, and that means that John Lundstrom is maybe one of the only players that can fill in that midfield role. That is something that he will need to think about going forward. However, he needs to think about the next 45 minutes, and I can tell you he has decided to make changes going into these next 45 minutes. Two changes at that. Ross McCausland has come on for Robbie Matondo, and Todd Cantwell has come off for the second half as well, and it's going to be Dujon Sterling that comes on. And just looking at the positions that the players are taking up in the second half as they line up to get underway, Dundee just making their way out at the moment, it looks as if Dujon Sterling is maybe going to play in a central midfield role. He's come in at Rangers, not been able to hold down a starting place yet, but he's played at right back, he's played at right centre back in a back three. We've seen him play at left back as well when he came on against Hearts midweek, but he is standing in a central midfield position, so it looks as if he could well be slotting in that sort of base of midfield alongside John Lundstrom. And it will be a straight swap on that right wing. Robbie Matondo, who didn't show up too well, I think, in that first half, showed his pace a couple of times, but his end ball and his delivery on that right side was pretty off it. And Ross McCausland has, of course, shown in flashes that he's an exciting young talent at Rangers, and Philip Clement putting his trust in him to see them out in this second half. But Dundee standing over the ball at the moment. We'll see what this incident-packed game has to offer in the second half.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get your prescription delivered straight to your door free of charge.
We've got a VAR check in Paisley for a St Mirren goal. Just before that, Dylan Smith had gone off injured. Kyle Turner on for County. It was a corner from the right. It hit someone. It was then kind of hacked off the line. So we'll wait and see. We've had a fairly busy afternoon with VAR already, hence why it's 9 minutes past four in that second half, just getting started at Ibrox, Hugh.
Well, at Ibrox, the talking point will be, amongst other things, the sending off of Jose Cifuentes and the effect this has on the cup final, because he is now ineligible for the game against Aberdeen a week tomorrow. This is nonsense, because it was a correct decision by a referee, Kevin Clancy, who has made all the big calls correctly today. He disallowed the Dundee goal correctly. Cifuentes, correct. Rangers penalty, correct. Calling off Cantwell's goal, correct.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And that goal does stand. St Mirren take the lead against Ross County at the Smyza Stadium. A bit of VAR drama there. It was hacked off the line initially, not even entirely clear who got the final touch, but nevertheless St Mirren do take the lead. Ross County trailing there, and another one of these as well.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Hibs have doubled their advantage. It's Livy nil, Hibs 2. Dylan Venter with a header at the back post. He scored one of the easiest goals he'll get last week when he tapped in from Martin Boyle's pass. It's a back post header this time, and I've got a funny feeling that wouldn't have been in David Martindale's team talk. He won't be taking that one well.
Well, it can't be taking anything well. This will be 7 defeats in a row for Livy. They're now approaching the 10-hour mark without scoring a goal. This may indeed be the season where survival is not on. He has been a miracle worker for years, but it has an unforgiving look about it. This, it looks as if it could be all over for Libby.
Goal at Fir Park as well.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's for the visitors. It's Motherwell nil, St Johnston 1. Liam Gordon is taking the credit. We said it was a sort of tense first half, not much doing, but that's a disastrous start to the half for Motherwell. Stuart Kettlewell needs a result, and it's not on the cards yet. Oh my goodness, the goals are flying in.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Better news, Aberdeen though, they've started the second half brightly, and it is that man Miovski that we've spoken about a lot this week. In off the post, Aberdeen 1, Hearts 1. St Johnston 1 up at Fir Park. It looks like it could even be a Bevis Mugabe own goal, and there is another pause as Hibbs' second goal is being checked. So
what a start to the second half.
Start wherever you like.
Well, I was going to start at Fir Park. Yeah. I think that's the big news. And I'm guessing, is it another set piece? If it was Liam Gordon and maybe a Bevis Mugabe own goal check. Set pieces have really been the Achilles heel for Stuart Kettlewell. He's came out after games and criticised his team for it, but they just keep leaking goals from them. And that's a big
problem.
Result.
That's a problem. Yeah, that's a they can't keep a clean sheet, especially at home. The amount of goals they've lost at home recently is incredible. But the only thing you can say, if you're Motherwell and you're hoping, they always show a bit of character and come back at the end.
Well, that Hibs goal doesn't stand offside in the end. So still Livy nil, Hibs 1. It was a free kick from Smith, and he's had a bit of stick this season, but Liam Kelly came for it and missed it, and it hit off, well, Bevis Mugabe and or Liam Gordon, and anyway, it's in the back of the net, and Motherwell really, really need to dig something out in the next 40 minutes.
The Motherwell captain's coming under a little bit of pressure. He's getting a bit of stick. We've had people phone this show not happy with him, be stripped to the captaincy, and he's obviously had a clanger today, so that's not going to help his confidence.
A clanger. Not heard that for a while.
Yeah, I'm bringing all the big words out for Christmas.
Remember Jamie Langfield used to play in goal for Dundee? He was called Clangers. That was his nickname.
That's a dreadful nickname for a goal. You don't want
good
that.
Good save, Liam Kelly, which was good for him, but bad for Motherwell, because it suggests St Johnston are looking at doubling their advantage. Chris Kane with the shot saved by the legs of Kelly. It's been a manic start to the second half, Hugh. Barely enough time to do this.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
And very quickly, St Mirren are 2-0 up against Ross County. I'm not even going to bother with the goal flash button. This is incredibly busy. So let's leave it there. 2-0 to St Mirren. On you go, Hugh.
I have played with Alan Stubbs and Connor Salmon. I have been managed by Martin O'Neill and Mark Warburton. I was loaned out twice to the same club from the team I played for in Scotland. Who am I? Played with Alan Stubbs and Connor Salmon. Managed by Martin O'Neill and Mark Warburton. Loaned out twice to the same club from the team I played for in Scotland. Who am I?
Right, I like that. At Clyde SSB, you need to come up with the answer and send it over to us there on Twitter. It's just one name, so let's see what you can come up with somehow, despite everything that you think about this guy. Gordon DL is either spectacularly good at the Who Am I's, or he cheats, and he's got someone in here who tells him the answers. What are you going for today? Because not only do you get them straight off the bat, usually. Show me your piece of
what
paper,
are you thinking?
Please.
Oh, no, no, got a guess
yet. Nothing yet.
No.
No.
Here's one for you. I don't think you get this one. I just don't feel like this player is on your radar.
Yeah, I've got my jigsaw always.
You look for the corners first.
Corners first.
That's what I do when me and my daughter are doing Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
8-piece jigsaws. It's quite tough. Always look for the corners. Better tempo from Aberdeen. The full mood there has flipped round. You can imagine that. The Aberdeen fans trying to get behind them.
Well, I'm looking at the jackets on Shugley Nails, and the nail holding up Barry Robson's jacket is looking better, and the nail holding up Stuart Kettlewell's jacket is looking as if it's getting ready to fall off the wall.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. St Mirren are two up. Remember, Ross County have fallen apart a bit. Jonah Ayunga on 56 minutes there, and nothing else to tell you about right now. A brief break in play. How many goals was that at the start of the second half?
Fantastic.
Four. Lost count.
Was that four?
Yeah. And there was one ruled out, of course. So just in case you missed that, it's Livy nil, Hibs one. So they've not doubled their advantage as we thought.
How do you figure this game? You know, Derek Adams, 7 points out of nine since going back to Ross County. St Mirren, four defeats in their last five games. And all of a sudden, the Derek Adams bubble bust.
Ross County today, you could have put all your money on St Mirren winning.
But I mean, without being unfair, the teams down there are probably there because they're not very good. So because they've won two in a row, in many ways it makes it even less likely that they turn that into the three in a row. Yeah, these teams don't go on long winning runs. Having said that, if it stays this way, St Johnstone have certainly turned a corner under Craig Levine.
The only side who are utterly bereft of hope, confidence or anything else would appear to be Livingston. Seven defeats in a row.
You're letting Motherwell off there.
Well, I mean, at least Motherwell have a couple of draws. Livy, every game out, defeat, defeat, defeat. Seven defeats in a row now.
I don't know about your confidence anyway. Watford nil, Southampton won. It's almost as if Shea Adams heard Lauren Shanklin scoring the goals, wanted to make sure that his place on the plane was secure, although I'm sure it probably is. And Shea Adams has scored for Southampton. You know, we generally try and tell you about the Scotsman doing things down there as well. So he has put them in front against presumably Ryan Porteous. I would imagine he will be on the opposition defence unless I've missed something this afternoon, so we'll keep an eye on them. Bonnie Rigg Rose won, Peterhead won. Goals continuing to go in down the divisions as well. There we go, take breath.
Interesting second 45 minutes at Ibrox. You know, it looked like that game was going to be done and dusted, but you just wonder how Dundee will manage having the extra man advantage. They obviously need to try and get back in it straight away, but Rangers, just with that quality player, McCausland on, you know, to keep a hold of the ball, take it for a run. It was a big 45
I think Clement, the type of man, he's made the tactical changes, he's made the personnel changes, and he's dealt with what has happened, which has been down to 10 men, justifiably down to 10 men, and he's dealt with it all very calmly as a top class manager would. So I mean, for Dundee to get anything out of this game, they have to score two goals. The chances of that are remote at best.
I mean, to state the obvious, it sort of highlights the importance, Gordon, of not falling so far behind, because you never know. I know you think stacked against you, but you might get a break, you might get a man sent off, it might give you that chance. But as Hugh says, you know, two goals behind, and that still remains a long way back, doesn't it?
And you've got to say Rangers will still have a threat in the pitch. They've got good pace in the wide areas. McCausland's a good player. Seema's in banging form. It's up to Dundee to maybe throw one or two bodies forward, try and be a bit braver, because we heard the reports from Andrew coming in from Ibrox that Rangers really should have been out of sight. So the only hope for me for Dundee would be that they get a quick goal and give them something to go for.
Queen's Park 1, Inverness 2, turnaround there for Duncan Ferguson's side as well. There's a few games being turned on their heads. Let's see if we get any more between now and, I was going to say quarter to five, but it's about past five usually now with the VAR delays. Don't forget your teaser is up and running as well. Still nothing from you, Gordon DL? No progress on that teaser?
I've got quite a good couple of clues going about here.
I agree with you, Gordon Duncan. I think when I reveal the name of this person, Gordon DL will say, "Who's that?"
Really? I don't know. Hugh.
Yeah, I'll tell you
what.
What
was your name in it?
There is one incorrect answer that everybody's saying. It's making me worried that this guy does fit the criteria, but I don't think he will. It's our old friend of the show, Kenny Miller. So what would drill him out? I was loaned out twice to the same club from the team I played for in Scotland. That didn't happen to Kenny Miller, did it?
No, yeah,
where did he play under Martin O'Neill, Kenny?
Maybe.
Oh, he could
Celtic.
Yeah, I think I might know who that is.
Striking. No. You think? Well, come on, go on.
Write your, get it down. Show us. Come on.
Because I think the club would be that, and I think it's the guy.
No, oh, it is as well. He's got it. Oh, I'm just suspicious of it. I just don't understand how he's doing it.
Yes,
that's good. Oh, that is, you are good at
mate,
it,
mate. The jigsaw works.
I don't think you've even heard of this guy.
100%. I can describe what kind of player he is.
No,
do you want me to see where
no,
he played?
Oh, well, now we know, but you've looked him up. Arbroath 1, Morton 1, David Gold on 61 minutes. Third injury of the game for St Mirren. Done for Taylor.
I'm getting strip searched here.
Dan's in chain.
This is ridiculous.
He's
the producer's
in the answers underneath it. Yeah. Yes. But that's a good one. I'm with the guys. I didn't think you would have remembered him.
It was a wee clue, Hugh. I went there first, didn't I?
See, this doesn't work on radio. You just
I know, but I can't tell who it is.
There's a bit of a set to Pittodrie. Beningame went in hard. Players squaring up to each other. That'll get the crowd up for it as well.
Oh, yeah.
We're level there, remember. You feel like another Hearts goal could certainly deflate things. But they're level as
on
things
on the
stand.
Other side of the coin, if Aberdeen snatched the victory, then all of a sudden things look brighter. Barry Robson can attend the AGM without security, and he'll take his chances in the cup final.
So one thing I hated as a manager, the AGMs.
Ugh.
Oh my.
Falkirk 1, Kelty 1. They've been pulled back. We're level. Dundee United have taken the lead as well through Kai Fotheringham.
Did you have to wear the old club suit?
Oh,
that delivered the message.
Air was a nightmare. Air was a nightmare.
I only ever did one at Brechin. That was I was in COVID time, so we had to do it in the stand.
Zoom.
And I had to stand behind the goals, and they were all seated in the stand.
Done it. He done it in his car. Brechin.
Honestly, the
Mark, when do you think we'll start losing six instead of seven?
They read it the minutes for the previous AGM. I mean, that must have taken about 2 hours, and we're sitting out there in the freezing cold listening to this nonsense, what people promised the year
people
before.
People had to sit and watch your nonsense in the
right, exactly.
Cold.
I know.
What would you have done? Like the Rangers fan at their last AGM asked about net zero emissions. What would you have done with that?
Well, Gordon actually feels really passionately about that stuff.
He's our man. He was
just explaining his thoughts on the carbon footprint of Scottish football to me earlier on the way in. So,
yeah,
tell us.
I think we'll save that for another day when there's not so many goals coming in, Gordon.
Probably wise. Yeah, they've dried up a little bit, has to be said.
One at Tannadice.
I told you about that a minute ago. You
Wasn't listening.
Dundee have not managed to threaten yet, so that will be a relief for Philippe Clement, just in case he thought there was any. Oh, he's now been booked, though, by Kevin Clancy. Kevin Clancy's been busy, hasn't he?
He's
booked Philippe Clement.
Oh, well.
On the touchline, just to liven that one up a little bit as well. Your teaser is there. I can't believe Gordon Dale's got it, so keep your guesses coming in on that one.
Yous are impressed with that, aren't you?
Yeah,
and
no,
yous are giving me no credit whatsoever.
No, I'm not. Not absolutely.
Why not? Because yous have tried everything. Yous have followed me about to the half-time whistles go. Yous have now studied my papers. Yous taken your phone off me, and I still produce the goods.
But it does always go out at half-time. Yeah, at the studio.
And where do you think I go?
Then you come in with the answer.
The answer.
And where would I look for the answer?
In the office.
In the office.
I go that way. You know I go that way. Don't take the glory away from me, Gordon.
I don't know.
One shot at glory.
No, I think in fairness to the
thank
Dadler,
you, Hugh.
I mean, I can think of no way in which you can cheat.
The jigsaw works.
Yeah.
It's just the way it happens. Put the corners in, bang, the middle falls on itself.
That Dundee United goal was the last goal to go in Scotland there. Kai Fotheringham, we told you about. The Championship is looking lively at the top. That great win for Raith Rovers against Partick Thistle last night. You'd have been loving that. You hate Partick Thistle, famously.
I love Partick. I've got a lot of tune for the Thistle, the Jags.
Welcome.
I'm going there tonight. If MD sees me, come over and give me a big hug, big welcome, a big cuddle.
Did you miss it, Hugh, during the week? So basically, you'll remember, just the quick backstory, we came across a magazine from the 90s where he gave easily the stupidest interview of all time. It was ludicrous stuff. Stupid answers, talking about how much he hated Partick Thistle and so on. You remember it, yeah?
And then I heard Gordon Dalziel being discussed.
Exactly. So it then came to my attention this week, and I'm going to replay it just because it's so good. Everybody needs a laugh on a Saturday afternoon. It came to my attention that the news of this article, and we discussed it in the show, has gone national. There is a podcast out there called, is it Quickly Kevin? Is that what I said it was called? Quickly Kevin. It's got Josh Widdicombe, who's a relatively well-known personality. He hosts the podcast, and they have come across this article by Gordon Dalziel, and it's just brilliant because it's great to hear how other people perceive him. Like, we're used to it by now, but hearing how other people view him is quite spectacular. So I'm going to play it. I think I've had the clip and now I've lost it, but it's just great to hear how other people view you from the outside. Have you had much good feedback about it this week? I feel like a lot of people have mentioned it to me.
Honestly, I'm getting it non-stop, and I'm just want to put it out there, it wasn't me. Totally wrong information.
Well, listen, this is how you're looked at in other podcasts in other parts of the world. Ready?
An interview with Raith Rovers' Gordon Dalziel. This good one, start. I would say, is the most astonishing Q&A I've ever seen with a 90s footballer. Which side do you hate playing against? Aberdeen away. By the time I'm back in Motherwell on a Saturday night, I've lost 3 hours drinking time.
I don't think he's taking his career seriously enough, is he?
He's got a bean in his bonnet about Partick Thistle. Worst moment of your career? Signing for Thistle. The fans there hated me from day one and still do. I'd love to sign for them again, just to score hundreds of own goals and get them relegated.
They wouldn't let you. After about three, they'd stop. There's no way you'd still be in the team.
They could get to three.
After like the 60th one, they're not going, I'm sure, no, he's just unlucky. Stick with it.
How many own goals over the course of a season, if you had to do it covertly, do you think you could score? And sort of, what would be your technique? How would you go about it?
Maybe three when the corner's coming in, it deflects off you as you're trying to defend a corner and in. I think after that point, the management are starting to get a little bit suspect, aren't they? I think you can get six.
Can you imagine if Gordon Dalziel did sign for Partick Thistle and was just scoring hundreds of own goals in a season? The manager, why are you picking this guy?
Suddenly they're playing and part of their tactics are, you've got to mark him out of the game as well as the other players.
Hundreds of own goals, so that's a minimum of a hat-trick of own goals a game, basically. that's what he's hoping to get away with.
How good is that fresh perspective? Brilliant. Just to hear how brilliant. Other people
I'm
view you.
I'm sad of these people.
No, it's brilliant.
Picking up in silly things that wasn't even me.
Well, look, your hometown team, apparently no sign of getting back into the game. Ollie Shaw's come on for Obika in 69 minutes. But I really enjoyed that. Just one more. Let's just humiliate you one more time.
The fans you hate the most. And he gives a top three. Partick Thistle, Partick Thistle's reserves, Partick Thistle's boys club.
It's good business, to be fair.
We need to get him on. What happened at Thistle?
Well, he's a striker and he played 43 games for Partick Thistle, scoring only 6 goals.
All own goals.
Yeah.
Obviously, that timer, Partick Thistle's really stuck with him.
I mean, this guy's just a walking caricature.
The worst case scenario for Gordon Dalziel, going to a Partick Thistle winners club do and winning the raffle for a terracing season ticket.
Suggests that if he wins it, he has to go. That he feels there's some kind of contractual obligation that you then have to go to every game. Just don't go, mate.
That is absolutely brilliant.
What was his name?
Gordon Dalziel.
Gordon Dalziel.
Raith Rovers legend.
Gordon Dalziel.
Totally false information given
that's
out there.
Amazing. Super
and
amazing.
I apologise to all my Firhull friends. No, I've not got any. I think I'll cancel that Partick do tonight.
Yeah, I think that's probably for the best. Anyway, no change in the score. That's why it was a good time to play those clips, just for a bit of fun. Nothing doing, as we said. Motherwell have changed strikers, but in many ways, Gordon, that's part of Motherwell's issue. They've got five main strikers, five out and out strikers. They're all in every match day squad.
Yeah.
Sometimes three of them play, they'll rotate, they'll swap around. You probably would exempt Mika Biret from criticism. John Obika has been injured, but over the piece, it's like scrambling around to find which of the five works.
I feel for a manager because I really couldn't tell you. Beereth is probably the best striker that Motherwell have got. The rest of them, for me, are not a threat. They don't score enough goals. Hopefully that can change in the next 20 minutes. But, yeah, five strikers, not enough goals there. But also, when you add into that the problem that at the back you can't keep a clean sheet, you're always going to be in trouble. I honestly think that the Motherwell manager, if he loses today, won't be in the dugout next week.
Well, a second goal for St Johnstone looks more likely. Graham Carey's hit the top of the bar with a 25-yard free kick. I was hoping for another Scott McTominay masterclass today, but Man United nil, Bournemouth 2 at Old Trafford.
This is normally when McTominay comes in and scores two goals.
Yeah, well, we'll
to salvage
see.
A point.
Airdrie nil, Dunfermline 2. That would be a great result in the making. Matthew Todd on 69 minutes there. Dunfermline 2 up at Airdrie. Keep your guesses coming on the teaser. Another reminder of the question, please, Hugh.
Yes, I have played alongside, as soon as I open the piece of paper, Alan Stubbs and Connor Salmon. I have been managed by Martin O'Neill and Mark Warburton. I was loaned out twice to the same club from the team I played for in Scotland. Who am I?
Maxim and... I'm glad I read that one in advance. Can we swear a word in it? Says Stephen Pearson.
Not him.
Mr. Paisley, I'll call him. So it's not Stephen Pearson, no?
Nope.
Okay, keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB if you can. Still no other goals.
I'm trying to work out the doomsday scenario here. Motherwell on 14 points, St Johnstone on 14. Therefore,
the problem is the number of games in hand. Whatever way you spin it, the picture does not look good for Motherwell, I can assure you. Well, I've studied it many times this week.
Well, I think then the board act tonight. In the event of a defeat, the board act tonight, or he goes on until the winter break. You either do it now, instinctively.
St Mirren next week now, is it, Paisley?
Doesn't really matter. And then who's next now, that's sort of that's the problem.
You can't go all those games and not win games. Listen, it's a results driven business, we keep getting told, as managers and coaches. If this keeps continuing, and it continues today, I will be amazed if he's still in the dugout next week.
Would you? Because obviously results are like, and I couldn't put a percentage on it, but they're obviously the most important thing, clearly. As a board, as a club, do you understand why boards might leave a little bit of allowance for, you know, does he still have the players? Do the players still like him? Do they still believe in him? Are they still reacting for him? You know, that sort of thing. Like, you know, you get that scenario sometimes when a manager is in a particular run and they, what's the phrase, you know, I lost the dressing room, the players are not doing it. In the last couple of weeks, as bad as they've been,
by character,
there's a bit in there. Without speaking out of turn, I won't name names. I think you speak to any, they still like Stuart Kettlewell. They still have faith in Stuart Kettlewell. I'm not saying that's enough and you lose 30 games in a row and you keep the guy because the players like him. But you see what I mean? Is there ever scope to take that into account?
I think your argument is you look at the character they showed at Celtic Park, Dundee coming from behind as well, when down to 10 men. Under pressure, Ross County at home as well, especially when the Motherwell fans are probably getting on your back, so they have to show something for a manager. But if you're the board and you're looking at the way the situation's going, you're not just looking thinking, right, okay, we're missing Van Veen, we're not scoring the goals that we used to score. They're leaking goals for fun, especially at home. And then you've got five strikers, and not being disrespectful, but I would say they're very average. So all of a sudden you can make a case for thinking, when is this going to change? It might change this afternoon. Sure. They might get two back. I'm hopeful, but I just think he's under severe pressure.
But then that's part of it, Mark, isn't it? Because whilst this will always eventually lead to the manager, you know, there's a feeling amongst Motherwell fans that it's more than that. I mean, Gordon's mentioning the strikers. Motherwell have signed 30 players on permanent contracts in the last couple of seasons. Very few are working. Hugh referenced it earlier. It's a year since it's a year since Alan Burrows left. At a time when he wasn't supposed to leave until the next CEO was appointed. That still never really happened. But Derek Weir's in there as an acting CEO. It's not like the club's all in great shape and the squad's good, but sure, Kettlewell was underperforming as a manager, and therefore it's all his fault. By the way, Man United are 3-0 down.
Oh, he's at home now. He will be one that will be losing his job down there.
Anyway,
listen, the club. I was going to say a wee bit of a mess. Probably not that far, but it could do with a bit of direction.
Could be considered that.
Yeah, and Stuart Keltwell obviously is the one that's going to take the flak for it. But you're totally right. The manager loses his job. They appoint someone else. There needs to be a better structure, I think, in place.
Well, they've got about 15 minutes or so to try and respond in some way. Always like it when managers do this. Dessers misplaces a pass. It was a particularly poor one, and Clement just turns round and tells Kemar Roof to get ready. And the change is going to be made. Roof for Dessers. You ever had that?
I've had that.
How many times? Ball goes under your foot as a fullback. You can just hear the manager say, right, get him warmed up.
That's what I like about Clement. As I say, he made these changes at half time in terms of personnel and in terms of tactics. He's had a long enough time to look at Dessers to think, you know what? He scored a good first goal for us today, but this has gone from bad to worse. Off you come.
Look, the guy's got a goal. That's a positive for him, especially when you've got a few players injured centre forward wise. Roof's coming on. You wonder just who will take that centre forward position next week in the cup final.
It can be hard, hasn't it? Look, I don't think Dessers has been good as such. He's not done enough when it has got to him, but at the same time, he has been isolated a lot. Is that do you afford any level of sympathy there?
He's certainly not a player, I think, that if you're down to 10 men, you put him up the top and let him go and hold the ball up and run about and get you up the park and take a bit of pressure off your defence. I don't think that's in his locker whatsoever. So he's ran his race, but as I said, the positives for him is he scores a goal, and that's what you're there to do. You're a centre forward, put the ball in the back of net, and as I say, it'll be interesting to see how Roof does in the remaining times of this game to maybe stake a claim for maybe next week.
Right, let's see any more in Scotland to tell you about. Not really. Keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB on the teaser as well. A rare lull in play. The second half just burst into life here in Scotland, but it's calmed down a little bit. Motherwell needs something. I don't even know what a draw does, but it's obviously slightly preferable to a defeat. Livy Hibbs still only one goal in that one. Aberdeen and Hearts is poised level there. You have to imagine Ross County too far back for them. 2-0 down at St Mirren. And although Rangers are down to 10 men, they do have a 2-goal cushion.
It's a funny thing, managers, their future. Just to look across the border very, very quickly, I would say Manchester United 0, Bournemouth 3 should mean the sack for Ten Hag, because it's the equivalent of industrial misconduct. How on earth can Manchester United, with the squad they have, the money available, be 3 down at Old Trafford to Bournemouth? It's unforgivable. And on top of as many other sins as the Manchester United manager, I would say tonight, allegedly the biggest club in the world, or so they think of themselves, would have to say, look, Eric, it's just not happening.
Eric, going to pick up that Manager of the Month trophy that you won yesterday,
yeah,
and stick it in a cardboard box and head off.
Did he win?
He did.
Manager.
I've heard of the curse before, March. But that's quite something. St Johnston are doing what you would do, taking their time now. Free kicks, throw-ins. Sven Sprangler's on, Graham Carey off, so more of a defensive shift there as well.
The problem for Stuart Keltwell is as well, who are beating them, and the reaction bringing in a new manager, you know, has for your team. So yeah, don't have to look too far for the impact of a new manager.
Conor Wilkinson's come on for Davor, as we call him. Again, it's another striker midfielder off, but just kind of.
It would be truly remarkable if he went tonight, Stuart Keltwell. That would mean 5 of the managers who started the season in the Premiership would have gone. You get Malky Mackay, Michael Beale, Lee Johnson, Stephen McLean. 5. Could it really be 5 and we're not even at the halfway stage?
And until Paul Heckingbottom the other day, England had none.
Yeah,
that was amazing. Don't get me wrong, they might be about to follow quickly if Ten Hag and whoever else do get their jotters, but there we go. They had none until last week, which I was very surprised at, because there are a few clubs down there that don't hang about.
It's becoming the norm now. You know, by Christmas, half a dozen away. It'll be the same next year as well.
You're a manager now, you're just getting in. Entry and exit. That's it. Simple for me.
Payoff.
Yeah.
Negotiate the payoff.
What's my entry and what's my exit? That's simple.
I mean,
it's a matter of time.
If this pays off, fair play, but, you know, it does all sound. And there are injuries, so we sympathise, but. I mean, Connor Wilkinson, if you've seen Connor Wilkinson, he's playing a bit deeper. He's playing in midfield, and then it's Shaw, Beerith and Bear up top for Motherwell.
Shaw's not really contributed much, has he?
I mean, he set up Wilkinson's goal, yeah, but no, you're right.
I know he got a goal, but Wilkinson, I'm not seeing enough in him to convince me that he's going to be the game changer for you.
Spittle right wing back.
Oh. Just seems a bit random, doesn't it? Just
he's probably a bigger goal threat than most of the strikers, to be honest.
Yeah, good player. And he can't play there. That's where he broke into Dundee United team and ended my Dundee United career.
When he came, that's not saying much.
He ended your Dundee United career.
Well, Jackie signed him and he played him.
My God, right, you must have been bad.
Well, I had 1 year that time.
If you keep talking Motherwell down, you'll end up with Eric Ten Hag as your manager. And then where will you be?
Leon Balogun with a chance, Shaughnessy on the goal line to clear it. It was going in, so Rangers, even though they've got the man disadvantage, almost stretched their lead, but cleared off the line in that one.
Big dunk.
Yeah, great turnaround.
That is.
He get manager of the month, did you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then lost the next game, didn't he?
But is it four now?
And now Queen's Park 1, Inverness 4. Billy Mackay with a penalty. Brilliant. A couple of efforts by Theo Bear. They're a sign of life from Motherwell. A 20-yard shot, a 10-yard header, both saved by Mitov. Only about 10 minutes left.
They'll
do something. You think so?
Yeah. That's what they do. Sure. That's what they do at Fir Park, a late goal.
What was it? You were 3-1 down a couple of weeks ago and got it to 3-3. Yeah. Who are you playing then?
Dundee.
Ross County.
Yeah.
I think they're relying on late goals. A bit too much.
Tell you what, Rangers fans, between injuries and suspension and whatever else, Seema is now down. He's getting treatment for a head knock. So again, if that's a bad one and concussion protocol kicks in and all that sort of stuff, that might be a bit of a concern.
Not having the best of times with injuries, Rangers.
Next week, no,
the Rangers manager complained about that, but that's what happens in the modern day game, so we hope he's okay.
Yeah, they don't want to miss him next week.
Yeah, he's a big player for him, isn't he?
But yeah, it looks like they're just doing the final checks. I think he might be okay to continue, but we'll keep
an eye. The game has to be careful. The game in general has to be careful with things like this, because you know, really, you should take him off. We pay lip service to the idea of players and head knocks, because the inclination is still, oh, keep him on, he's fine, keep him on, and we're taking risks with players.
Now he's walking to the side at the moment. No sign of the change there. I suppose you have to put your faith in the medical professionals. He is going to continue at the moment. Similar story, Gartman's got the old Terry Butcher head bandage on for Aberdeen. Will we get a winner in that one?
Well, now what did I take? I took this for a draw. I took Aberdeen Hearts for a draw.
There you go. You get some things right.
I've still tipped Aberdeen at the start.
AFC.
I think they'll get a winner.
AFC.
Yeah.
You fancy them?
I think there'll be late drama at Pittodrie. I think there'll be late drama at Fir Park. I think there'll be late drama at Livingston.
I don't think
there'll be late drama in Paisley.
You've got more late drama than Martin Scorsese.
I don't
think so.
It's Christmas. Come on.
You on the old Christmas films, Christmas music? You're not in full swing?
No, I'm not really.
Listen, here's a revelation for you.
I thought your old iPod shuffle would have been tuned into a Christmas playlist.
I've not really got my Christmas playlist. I've not heard a tune. I received my first card.
Oh, we got one in here actually addressed to you three.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Well, I've received my second card then.
Do you know what? It just shows me how fast time goes, because I can distinctly remember this conversation last year where you revealed that Johnny Mathis, When a Child is Born.
When a child is born.
And you did exactly that.
A real fool.
That's
a great song.
That's his favourite Christmas song.
That is weird, isn't it?
What is the sporting connection between involving Johnny Mathis? What's the sporting connection?
He's a goalie.
No.
Okay. Good guess.
I only know this because Hugh Keevans told me yesterday. But there we go.
Hold on, give us a clue.
It's not that exciting. Put him out of his misery, Hugh.
He was an Olympic competitor as a sprinter.
Was he?
Yeah.
and sang that song while he was...
Stop that. Stop that right now.
I don't even know what that was.
That was Johnny Mathis singing that song.
I'm now looking. I think Hugh's story is partly true. No. It says he missed the Olympic high jump trials, but he was an enthusiastic sportsman. He had 9 holes in one to his name. What a record that is.
No way. Well, is that in his bio?
Yeah.
9 holes in
one. So even now, as having sprinted in the Olympics, I don't think that's strictly true, but he was a talented sportsman, and that is your favourite ever
Christmas song.
Christmas song.
Yeah, I think a lot of people out there will be applauding that.
David Friel says, Livy badly need a ray of hope. I like that. So did Motherwell for that, for that matter.
There'll be drama there, boys. Don't worry about it. It's coming.
Who do you want as your next manager?
I thought your favourite Christmas song would be this one. It just strikes me as something that you've probably had to endure a couple of times. You never had to endure that before.
Yeah, that happened to me one year. I get married on the 23rd and we decided to get a break for a wee while.
what, on the day of the wedding?
Yeah. We decided we didn't want to sort of cramp each other's space at Christmas.
What, straight away?
Right, yeah, straight away, yeah. On the day of the wedding.
How did that conversation go?
Oh, don't answer that.
I come home myself.
From your own wedding?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it was a good wedding, got to say. She went out to the nightclub and I stayed in the hotel. And then I come down the road and at Christmas Day, obviously she's at mum's or wherever she was. And I come down, no Christmas tree, no card. And I thought, this doesn't seem like Christmas. Put the telly on, it was, it'll be lonely. It's Christmas.
Right on cue as well.
Oh. That's a true story.
Do you remember that? This made me feel sad for you. No,
I was a good day.
Yeah. How long for?
Oh, we met up again after Nerdy. we decided to get into a new year.
Do you remember the very last line of that song?
No.
Merry Christmas, darling, wherever you are.
There you go. Mud, I'll never forget that song that day.
What a life you have
had. I actually looked at the TV and went, you are joking me. Looking about. Great,
he says. Great about it.
They were good days, good memories.
What a great opening line. Married on the 23rd and took a break before Christmas.
Save on the Christmas gift.
It was brilliant.
Remember you used to do that at school? Split up.
Christmas
school.
I feel like that's something that he's perhaps leaned on quite heavily throughout the years.
You must like then our D-I-V-O-R-C-E became final today. That must be why.
Oh, I like a divorce.
Tell you what, a break between the 23rd and Christmas. That is outstanding, right?
Half 7 and 8.
5 minutes. 5 minutes added in Paisley. Probably too much for Ross County, you would have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think there's any way back for Dundee, despite the man advantage. Motherwell still no real signs, not looking likely. Blow the whistle, get it over with. Now, let's try and have the post-match discussion. Livy Hibs, just maybe. And Aberdeen Hearts is poised as well. So whilst we wait, and after that marriage bombshell, let me give you the answers to this. Or more specifically, let Hugh give you the answers to this.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Alan Stubbs and Connor Salmon. I've been managed by Martin O'Neill and Mark Warburton. I was loaned out twice to the same club from the team I played for in Scotland, and that means I am Daryl Murphy.
Daryl Murphy, well done if you got that right. Mark Wilson is a former teammate of
yours. Yeah, it was, aye.
How did you not get that then?
Excellent effort.
Just too quick.
Well done to you. Third place was Mulf82, second place Michael Donati, and the winner was C. McLean. You, along with Gordon DL, know your Daryl Murphy. So well done. More teasers later on in the week, I am sure. 8 minutes added at Pittodrie. What an ending
drama.
That's going to be.
Goal in that.
What an ending.
Drama.
Would Barry Robson take a draw though?
Yes.
So is that where that balance between overcommitting for the win Yeah. You would take a draw there, wouldn't
you? I would say so.
Like, yeah. It survives a draw, though.
Well, they've not won at home, I was checking, since Ross County on the 24th of September or something like that. So, desperately needs a home win, but.
Mother will take
what's
a draw?
Happened? 100%.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Would that save him? Would that save him?
Oh, I don't know. It prolongs the discussion a bit, perhaps. But 4 minutes added there. We're about a minute into that now, possibly. Motherwell have done it. That's the thing. There's not been a lot of quality there, and there certainly have been no wins, but there has been a little bit of character and some late shows recently. Can they do it again? Yes, they can.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Oh, we've got a goal at Pittodrie as well, but Mika Bireth has scored for Motherwell. You get that usual tension and you wait and you see if there's a check and all the rest of it, but it's a powerful header and Mika Bireth has Motherwell level. It's maybe not enough. They need a win at some point, but clearly 1 point on the board is better than it looked a few minutes ago. And let me tell you about this.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
It's Aberdeen. That changes things for Barry Robson. It is a Duke cross. It is a Leighton Clarkson tap-in. And as far as late drama goes, this is what the Scottish Premiership on a Saturday afternoon is all about. Not only would Barry Robson take the draw and maybe limp on a win against Hearts, setting him up for a cup final, Hugh. That's the way it looks now.
He is as safe as houses. It doesn't matter about the booing in the first half. It doesn't matter about the AGM on Monday. He is safe because he's got a cup final and he's got a win and he's got up the league table. At Motherwell, I think that the jacket is still on the sugary peg, but the jacket will remain there. There'll be no new jacket and Stuart Kettlewell will go on to the next game.
This is what we said earlier. I teed it up. I wish I could predict these things, but look, Motherwell can't go on, you know, not winning games, and maybe they're not good enough and there are issues there. But they're still doing something for that manager, quite clearly, aren't they?
Yeah, they're digging it out when he really needs them. And look, over recent weeks as well, the changes he's made, you know, to actively... The thing that'll be annoying him is he's always trying to get back into games rather than hold on to something, and it's the same today. But he's got there in the end, and that I think that will be enough to keep him in the job.
Yeah, I do, but it drops him down the league.
He would be the first to say, you know, you can't over celebrate it, but it, like we said, it just shows though that it's not.
I said earlier they've got character, they've done it before.
But I wonder if Ten Hag does survive
4-0. No, he shouldn't.
You have to have respect for yourself. if you're Manchester United, you have to have respect enough for yourselves to say that is a humiliation beyond redemption for you. Off you pop.
Anyway, back to our drama. I'll tell you what a finish.
Motherwell now are 3 points behind Dundee. Now, we've praised Tony Dock all season long. Motherwell are only 3 points behind Dundee. So, do we have grounds for sacking the manager?
No, Hugh, it's 5 points out of 39.
Right, that's what it is. It's not, because I said this to you, it's not all, like, the table is so tight and the standard is such that it's going to remain tight. So if you just base it on the league table, you'll never sack anyone until they become detached. But as Gordon says, at some point in there, there's going to be a sort of run that maybe does it for a manager. But it's full time at Fir Park. Fraser Wishart, what an end to that one.
Motherwell 1, St Johnstone 1, just saying, what an end. I mean, Motherwell are making a real habit of late goals. I saw them against Ross County a few weeks ago score a couple in injury time, last week against Dundee as well. And today it was Mika Bireth with 92 minutes on the clock who powered a header past Mitov that has got them a point. It was just about to report on a desperate run for Motherwell continuing, and to be honest with you, 5-8 points in 13 games is perhaps not good enough, but they will absolutely take a point after today's performance. Really poor first half. Both teams looked wary of making the first mistake. Motherwell had the best efforts. George Gent, Blair Spittle's shots on the edge of the box, comfortably saved by Mitov. At the other end of the game, Kelly's only involvement was to punch away a dangerous Gallagher cross and then save easily from Carey's shot with the rebound. We wanted better in the second half, and it was slightly better, but the pattern of play was similar at the start of the second 45. Slattery struck a 25-yard try, did really well, but straight at Mitov. And then at the other end, a real shock for Motherwell. St Johnstone took the lead. Matt Smith bent in a free kick from the right-hand side, and everybody waited for Liam Kelly, who came, missed the ball, and it hit Liam Gordon. I don't think he knew much about it, at the back post and trickled into the back of the net. 1 minute later, through Kelly, made a brilliant save though, and Kane was clean through on goal. 1-1 with the goalkeeper, really good save by the keeper with his legs, and Motherwell rocking at this point. No real sign of Motherwell getting an equaliser, to be honest. Ollie Shaw came on for Abika, a few dangerous crosses, but excellent defending from McGowan and Gordon. Teal Bear came on, made a difference, and he had a couple of efforts, 20-yard shot and a 10-yard header, but just half chances saved by Mitov. And then 92 minutes gone, Bear was the man who had played a big part in getting the equaliser. On the left-hand side, he drove the ball across the face of goal with his left foot, and in came Mika Biereth, and a brilliant header. He got a powerful header onto it, and it went past Mitov, who had no chance, into the corner of the net. Motherwell really get out of trouble again later on, but still worrying signs. Not a good performance. No wins in 13, but Stuart Kettle said earlier he'll be absolutely delighted just to take a point after the performance today. But Craig Levein, he'll be really, really disappointed because his team couldn't see the game out in the closing minutes. Full time at Fir Park, Motherwell 1, St Johnstone 1.
Is it a huge goal? Is it a lifesaver? Is it papering over the cracks? You can decide when we open the phones in the not too distant future. Aberdeen fans are in full voice. They're happy they've taken the lead against Hearts and look like they'll hold on. There's a long wait though for a Livi penalty check, so they might just rescue something against Hibs there. It's finished at Paisley, St Mirren, Ross County 2-0. I'll bring you that story in a second. I'm just going to wait with that for Livi, because again, if we're talking about, well, it being a great point for Motherwell, then if Livi were to get a penalty and dig that one out, same would have to be said.
I said there'd be late drama at three games. And
so you did. Spot on the day.
And we all laughed at you.
You all mocked me once again. That'd be a terrific penalty if Livi could get it and get an equaliser. Gives them something to build on. They need something.
Yeah,
they need encouragement.
He's going to check, which tends to mean
a penalty kick.
Tends to mean one thing. There we go. Bit of a lifeline for Livi potentially, Hugh.
Yeah, strange one. You know, out of the blue, nearly 10 hours without a goal. Now the chance of temporary salvation.
No penalty.
Oh.
Did he go over to. Oh, it was offside. There we go. That's taken. Why did he go and look at the monitor?
Livi are down. So, on we go.
Still not done at Ibrox. Such is the nature of the injuries and so on. Rangers are finishing this game with Dujon Sterling and Leon King in central midfield, which is quite remarkable. Obviously taking John Lundstrom off as well, and we know Cifuentes was sent off, and there are issues in that area of the park. So two young non-midfielders. I think Leon King kind of has at times played in there, but there's a difference, I suppose, between doing it for the first team and in he goes. We don't see too much of him these days. He has played there for the 21s. That's where I had seen it recently, for Scotland under 21s. But there we go. Still not done yet at Ibrox. Still not, or it is done in Paisley. I'll bring you the full time picture there. It's full time Pittodrie. What a result, Dave Galloway.
Absolutely. Aberdeen 2, Hearts 1. The visitors made much the better start though. Frankie Kent's header and Alex Lowry's drive easily dealt with by Keller Roos, but they deservedly went in front after 20 minutes. A corner was swung in, the marking was poor. Lawrence Shankland scored at the back post with a diving header. Aberdeen eventually started coming a little bit more into things. Leighton Clarkson was picked out by Johnny Hayes' free kick, and he drove just wide from the edge of the box. The Dons enjoyed a bit of pressure, forcing a couple of corners that came to nothing. Graham Shinney let fly from about 30 yards, and his effort wasn't too far away. But the Dons didn't force Xander Clark into a serious save in a very frustrating first half for them, with very loud boos ringing right around the stadium at the ref's whistle. However, it took a wonderful save to stop Aberdeen equalising after Richard Jensen let fly from 30 yards. The home team by now playing with a much, much better tempo, and they equalised after 54 minutes. Jimmy McGrath picked out Bojan Miowski, who fired a cross goal and the ball went in off the post. Players from both teams squared up after a Benny Beningame's rather crude challenge on Jimmy McGrath, but after a VAR check, a yellow card was not upgraded to a red. Much improved stuff from Bradley Robson's men. Jamie McGrath also curled one just past from outside the box, and Esther Sockler hit the side netting. Both sides had their moments, but with Aberdeen looking the likelier duke had a pop from distance, but it was straight at Xander Clark. Pretty frantic stuff, but entertaining in the second half. And then on 92 minutes, joy for the Red Army. Duke with a delicious ball across goal, and Leighton Clarkson had a tap in an absolutely massive victory for the home side. Aberdeen 2, Hearts 1.
Well, you can hear what that means to those Aberdeen fans. This week has kicked off in a fashion that looked a whole lot different from what they feared, and who knows what the cup final will bring. It is finished at Ibrox. Andrew McLean.
Rangers 3, Dundee 1, the full-time score. It was an incident-packed first half that saw four goals and a red card, followed by a second half that was much more reserved. Rangers doing a professional job to see it out with 10 men. They had to come from behind. Dundee almost taking the lead initially through Lyle Cameron. He was through one-on-one with Jack Butland, but he's been in fantastic form this season, and this one a big save down low to his left. But from the resulting corner, it was headed back across goal, and there was Amadou Bakayoko. He slid in to make it 1-0 to the visitors in the opening few minutes. However, 20 minutes in, Rangers responded. Cyril Dessers initially had a shot blocked. It came back to him, left-footed shot this time, powerful, deflected high into the top corner, and that made it 1-1. 4 minutes after that, it was a corner that came in for Rangers. Abdallah Sima was rising high to try and head it in, but he was being dragged down by his shirt by Aaron Donnelly. Defenders know that they can't do that type of thing. Kevin Clancy didn't spot it at the first time of asking. However, Stephen Kirkland, the VAR, advised that he went to the screen. He did so. He didn't watch too many replays before turning round and pointing to the spot. James Tavernier stepped up to take that one. Trevor Carson went the wrong way, and Rangers took the lead. It was then three as Abdallah Sima got a clean header on this one. His ninth goal of the campaign. James Tavernier's corner, but Sima rose high, big, powerful header into the top corner, and you thought at that point Rangers would kick on and maybe get a few more. They went close a few times before the break. Each team actually had the ball in the net before that as well. However, the whistle had gone for a foul before both of those, but this was the point in the game where the dynamic changed, because Jose Cifuentes went in with a late challenge on Amadou Bakayoko, given as a yellow card at the time by Kevin Clancy, but once again instructed to go to the screen by the VAR, and what he saw was Cifuentes with his studs up, catching his opponent. The yellow card was upgraded to a straight red. Rangers knew they had to make some changes. Philip Clement knew he had to make some changes going into that second half. He did so. Dushan Sterling, Ross McCausland coming on. They moved to a 4-4-1. They were structured, they were organised, and they really stopped Dundee making the most of that man advantage. Dundee not able to really test Jack Butland at all in that second half. The closest they came was an opening for Lyle Cameron and a good position in the box, but John Souter came sliding in. A really good tackle block it was that put the ball out for a corner. Rangers also attempted to extend their lead late in the game. A really good effort by Dushan Sterling outside the box. The ball come crashing off the post. It then fell to Abdallah Sima, who put his resulting effort into the stand. It could have been a ropey afternoon for Rangers, but Philip Clement will be happy with how they went about their business in that second half. The full-time score at Ibrox is Rangers 3, Dundee 1.
What about Livingston Hibs, David Friel?
Full time, Livingston 0, Hibs 1. Martin Bull's first goal since September gives Hibs a win, but Livy remain in deep trouble. Davy Martindale's side have now lost 7 games in a row. They've gone 9 hours without scoring a goal. Livingston boss, you know what he's like, he won't panic, but they will be heading for the drop if they don't stop this run as soon as possible. They really feel a wee bit sorry for Livy. They actually, you know, they put a lot in the first half, they put a lot in the second half, they had chances, but they just didn't have that quality. As I say, they started really the best of the game before Martin Boyle grabbed open on 28 minutes. Eli Ewan claimed the assist, he fed Boyle inside the box. The Hibs man guided the ball into the bottom corner to give them the lead at the break. Dylan Venti thought he'd made it 2-0 minutes into the second half when he headed in at the back post. Grant Irvine chopped it off after VAR showed the Dutchman was offside. Credit to Livy, they never let their heads go down, but poor finishing, good goalkeeping denied them. They had a lot of chances. Bruce Anderson on as a sub, he had the best one after being played in by Scott Pittman, but David Marshall rolled back the ears with a brilliant save. Livy kept going, they get 5 minutes of added time at the end, and they thought he had a penalty when Mohsen Gary had a shot blocked. He claimed for a penalty. Grant Irvine went over to the monitor, but bizarrely it just showed that he was actually offside. No penalty. Hibs held on and dark clouds remain over Livingston. Full time, Livy 0, Hibs 1.
And last but not least, what about St Mirren, Roger Hannah?
St Mirren 2, Ross County 0. The Buddies are back to third place in the Premiership tonight. Two goals in a 5-minute spell just after the break, including a bizarre VAR awarded own goal, set Stephen Robinson's side on now 83 points. It ended a run of three straight defeats for the Saints and inflicted a first defeat on Derek Adams since his return as Ross County boss. And it's a fifth straight trip to Paisley where the Staggies have failed to even score a goal. Ross Laidlaw, he had to push away from Jonah Ayunga after 13 minutes as the host looked for a quick breakthrough. County were a threat at the other end. Jordan White's cross smuggled away for a corner, and the big striker then heading wide from that resulting set piece. Saints lost Caelan Boyd Munster to injury with Keanu Backus coming on before the break, and they went close to breaking the deadlock when Greg Kilty hit the bar with a left foot shot after a cute 1-2 down the left hand side with Scott Tanzer. Simon Murray still threatening, he had a shot across the face of goal from a tight angle, but then Laidlaw had to make saves from Stave, Namani and Ayunga before the break. Then disaster struck at the start of the second half for County. First of all, they lost centre-back Dylan Smith to injury with Kyle Turner coming on. Before Derek Adams could even make a rejig, they were a goal behind. A crazy goal at that. A corner swung in from the right. It bounced about the six-yard box. It looked to have been hacked clear. Some St Mirren players celebrating. Play raged on. Then eventually referee Callum Scott, officiating in just his second Premiership game, stopped play. There was a VAR check. The goal given. And Ryan Leake seems to be the unfortunate County player who got the last touch over his own line. It should have been 2-0 straight away. Ayunga squaring for Namani, but hit short, cleared away by Leak with Laidlaw beaten. But the second goal did come in 56 minutes. Ayunga cutting in on his right foot after a pass from Tanzer. He lashed in a powerful shot. Laidlaw should have dealt with it. He didn't. It went straight through him, and it was Ayunga's first goal in 13 months to seal the 3 points for the Buddies. Zach Hemming, who had been quiet, tipped away a flying header from County sub Alex Samuel. Then fellow substitute Josh Jims fired wide, but it was all too little, too late from the Staggies. They didn't deserve anything. Saints deserved the 3 points. They're back to third place. St Mirren 2, Ross County 0.
And it's over to you then, 01419511025. Once the games are done, we like to look back on them with you. You should probably be just about getting back in the car or the bus or the train or whatever after the game at Ibrox. So what did you make of it? It was incident-packed. Rangers winning by 3-1. I've had a look at social media already. Those who do support Rangers think it's a disgrace, some of them, that Cifuentes was sent off and that Cantwell's goal was disallowed. And then everyone else thinks it's terrible that Rangers got a penalty. So normal service very much resuming on those issues. Any concerns about the cup final next week, Rangers fans, in terms of the absentees and Motherwell fans? How big a point was that? What does that do for Stuart Kettlewell? Is it a sign of character, a sign of life? Is it papering over the cracks? You can let us know on the usual number. St Mirren fans, back to winning ways, you must be happy. And Celtic fans, what are your thoughts ahead of Rugby Park tomorrow? Let's answer those questions and more after these.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
0141 951 1025. Do you have something, anything to say about today's football? That is the number you dial and share it with Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. There was a win for Rangers, full of incident though, because Rangers were down to 10 men in the first half. Dundee gave a penalty away for a short pull as well. Philippe Clement was booked. Kevin Clancy had a busy old afternoon. There was a goal disallowed for Rangers they felt maybe should have stood. So there's a lot in there. Are you coming out of Ibrox? Pick up the phone, let us know what you made of it right now. 01419511025. Motherwell fans, it is another, I think it's the seventh, it's around about that, the seventh goal in injury time this season. Does that show character? Does it show the manager has the players still fighting for him? Or is it just all not quite enough and you need to get some wins in? Pick up the phone and let us know. Good win, St Mirren fans. What did you make of it? And Celtic fans, I'm sure you'll want to discuss the trip to Kilmarnock tomorrow as well. 01419511025. Does O keep his place? Does he have to? What about Kyogo? Would he come back in and replace O? Would they both play? Cameron Carter-Vickers presumably not risked on the plastic pitch if he's got the hamstring injury. So whatever you've got for us today, it's 01419511025. It was quite the day, Hugh.
Yeah, in terms of, I said at the start, title or turmoil. Well, as far as the title is concerned, Rangers are 5 points behind Celtic. It puts enormous pressure on Celtic tomorrow at Kilmarnock, because if you were to lose that game, the championship is very much back on the table. Turmoil for Barry Robson, a magnificent day, a belated goal, the fans going home happy, he's safe. Kettlewell, a late goal, a draw. I think even if it's on the back of draws, and he's had three in his last five games, even if it's on the back of a draw, he's clawing his way up inch by inch. He's 5 points away from Livingston, and I think that he will remain in office, barring the unforeseen.
Quite an amazing day at the bottom of the table anyway. When you think about it, probably about 15 minutes before the end, you look at two managers severely under pressure. There might have been big decisions to be made tonight, but Barry Robson, a great result that takes him into the cup final next week against Rangers, and for Stuart Kettlewell, yeah, Hugh's right. There's just that little bit of fight still left in Motherwell. However, I just wonder if the people upstairs who make the decisions are now thinking a win is almost impossible, because they just cannot seem to get over the line and get 3 points. So I wonder if there's still decisions to be made.
I think down the bottom, Aberdeen are the real winners. Barry Robson is under severe pressure, going one down at Pittodrie. His team had to show a lot of character, certainly achieved that. The leapfrog Motherwell in the league, so that pushes him up a bit, looks a bit more healthier. Rangers obviously get the job done early on, should have probably been well out of sight by half time. A lot of drama in that game, a lot of decisions that people will talk about. Motherwell, I know what the lads are saying, but you're 13 games without a win, you're 5 points out of 39, you've dropped down the league again. Surely that puts you under pressure. Not that I want to see managers losing their job, but fans just will not accept, you know, late goals to save a point without winning games. And as I say, when you start dropping down the league, that's when it gets a bit worrying.
Let's bring in James, who is a Rangers fan from Kilmarnock. How's it going, James?
I'm not so bad, partner. How are you doing?
Not bad at all. What are you thinking tonight?
As I was saying to the producer there, it was a typical sluggish start for Rangers at the moment. It seems to be the way. But then once they got the equaliser there, it was pretty much easy for there on in until the sending off. What was the panel's thoughts on the sending off, and what's the panel's thoughts on why Cantwell's goal never stood? I never seen a foul in the build up.
Well, the referee saw a foul.
I don't know that, though, but he's asking what you think.
Yeah, the referee clearly had stopped play and Cantwell on a score.
Yeah.
So it's not a goal. And with regard to the...
I think James is asking, though, if you thought it was the right decision to stop play. That's
yes,
what he's asking.
Without doubt. Yeah, it was a foul. He stopped play. And the game had obviously, in the referee's mind, come to a halt, but Cantwell carried on as he's supposed to do and stuck the ball in the net. But the referee was right to give the foul initially. And with regard to Cifuentes, you know, I realise it causes Rangers personnel problems for the cup final because he's now suspended. However, he gave the yellow card, went over, had a look, and then gave the right colour of card. It was a red card defence.
You don't look as convinced, Mark, about the foul.
No.
That ruled out the goal.
I think Dundee were fortunate. I thought, in my opinion, the Dundee player gave the ball away, and I think it was maybe Lundstrom just kind of had his momentum, took him into Dundee player. I think they were fortunate, Dundee, to get away with that, but I think the red card was the right call.
What about the goal? We'll do it in that order. Because again, like I get, you know, people say with VAR now, can you just let play go on and then the goal goes in and then you can always pull it back? But at the same time, referees would, you know, could be encouraged. If you think you spotted a foul in the middle of the park, you know, give the foul, kind of be decisive. Mark's issue, so you know, so there's no issue there. It couldn't possibly stand.
Yeah, because he's blown the whistle.
But Mark's issue is he doesn't think it was a foul.
I can see arguments for both. I understand what Hugh's saying.
I'm going with Mark.
I thought Dundee were quite lucky to get away with that, if I'm going to be quite honest with you, Gordon. But unfortunately for Rangers, then when the whistle blows, then you can't really take it back. You maybe should have just let it run on and see what happened from there. The other big talking point, sending off. I'm with the guys. I think that it's a silly, silly challenge. I think he deserved to go, and I was no doubt he was going to get a red card, and he'll miss the cup final next week. He's been punished twice.
You disagree with that, James?
Well, is it, for where I was, it did look like a book. It did look like a foul, but has his studs been up, or why is it being deemed a red card instead of a yellow?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely caught a mark for sure. The one thing I would say is whether you think it's a red, a yellow, nothing, a 6 month jail term, can we just stop banging on about whether it was intended or not? Surely we all know by now that it is irrelevant, right? So whatever you think of it, stop tweeting about intent or whatever, right? Irrelevant. Does it endanger the opponent? Is it excessive force? That sort of stuff. That's what the referee or the VAR is looking for. There is clearly contact in an area that is can be looked at as being, like we said, endangering opponent. Did it have the force? What were the boxes that were ticked for you?
It's certainly endangering an opponent. I think it was high enough as well, just maybe over the short line as well. So I think it was the right thing. But yes, looked a bit of a stamp, so a real silly one because it was avoidable. I know we see a lot of these things are avoidable, but I don't think Cifuentes needed to go anywhere near that. So for me, right decision to rescind the yellow and give the red.
I think his manager will be angry with him, Gordon. He doesn't need to get in there. Rangers are comfortable. He gives the referee no decision to make. The referee goes over, has a look at it. It's a red card. And the more that it's a red card, he's endangering an opponent. There's no doubt of that.
Celtic Rangers fans have the same attitude, particularly when they're playing at home. You can't give that against us. We're Celtic and Rangers.
I think you'd be unfair. I think James sounds perfectly balanced. I don't think he sounds too irate about it. James, the football side of it then, we've seen this before. It's one of the quirks of VAR. You'll remember some incidents last season where players got sent off because of VAR, but then still won appeals and came back. It's strange. It doesn't happen too often. It's possible, though. If that isn't the case, how big a problem do Rangers have in midfield in the cup final?
I think, to be fair, yous have got a better view than I have. I'm obviously sitting in the stands, so if yous are, I'm only asking your opinion. I wasn't looking to be slaughtered. As far as the football-wise, I felt we dominated when we had 11 men on the park. I felt Dundee set a stall. But comfortable winning. Barisic, the fullback for his booking, I don't know what he's thinking about either. I think the manager really could tear into a few of them tonight, if I'm honest. But at the end of the day, 3 points, so happy days up the road.
Yeah, I guess that is it, Hugh. That's it. 3 points on the board. Once you do go down to 10 men before the break, is that where the sort of the priority becomes the result? You know, the swagger or whatever doesn't necessarily need to be there.
The manager sorted it all out in an instant, got it all right, personnel, tactics. The consequences of the result are the important thing. Celtic are going to a ground where they've already lost this season. If they are without Cameron Carter-Vickers, then I think central defensive partnership becomes awkward. Scales will be okay, but I'm not sure about who plays beside him. And Celtic will be under pressure because the game against Rangers is getting closer and closer. Any more drop points by Celtic and that occasion could take on some meaning.
Is that what it has to be for Rangers, Gordon, when you look at the, you know, if you are going to fall behind, just, you know, make sure you recover quite quickly. It's hard to get an overall feel of the game because the decision to send off Cifuentes changes things, but Rangers were obviously very comfortable in the first half until that happens.
To be fair, they had the game in the bag by half time, Gordon. It showed good character from them. To go one down so early at Ibrox when everybody's along there, 49 plus thousand Rangers fans expecting a goal feast. And as James quite rightly said, Rangers have got a little knack of starting quite slow in games. But once they get back into 1-1, then the chances, the possession, when it was 11v11, it could have been a lot more for Rangers. You've got to be honest about it. Could have been a lot more. And then obviously second half, he's made the changes, decided to go 4-4-1. Different formation as well, and they ran out comfortable winners.
Another goal for Sima, James. What are your thoughts on him? Because there'll obviously be continued questions about whether Rangers want to keep him, how much they want to keep him.
He's one of those players, when he first came up, he was getting absolutely terrorised for the stands, wasn't he? But he's turned it to settle in very well, and boy, he's on some serious form. I do think he is looking a wee bit tired later into the games, if I'm honest, because he's getting used quite a lot. But I do think he's been a bit of a revelation, if I'm honest. Very strong, very powerful on the ball. But for me, he could maybe be doing me a wee rest, a wee game before we do come up against the Old Firm, you know.
Good luck finding time to rest him, because there's not much else. But thank you very much to James. That was a good call, James. Enjoyed your company. 01419511025. If you want to agree or disagree with any of that, the guys all felt that Jose Cifuentes should have been sent off, but a bit of a split in terms of whether that goal disallowed was the correct decision or not. Of course, there was a penalty in that game as well. So anything you want to debate there, Motherwell fans, I'd like to hear from you. Is that a good point? Is it, you know, showing fight and character? How much do the concerns still exist? Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. They're looking for your thoughts on today's action or a preview of tomorrow, if you would prefer, Celtic fans. I know the traffic's bad and it takes a while, but you Rangers fans must be getting out of Ibrox by now. Why not give us a call? Was it a satisfactory afternoon? Do you just take the 3 points given the red card? The guys all feel it was a red card. They do think there's a bit more debate though about the goal that Rangers got ruled out. That was a caller that put the questions to them. Of course, there was a penalty in that game as well for a shot pull. If you've any thoughts on that one, phone us right now. And a big afternoon at Fir Park. You can read whatever you want into that late equaliser on the same number. And you Celtic fans, what about tomorrow? Is Kilmarnock still that type of venue? Does it give you a bit of fear? Does it give you a bit of dread? Or do you have much more confidence than that? Should O keep his place in the team? Or would you bring Kyogo back? And if Cameron Carter-Vickers is not rested, does that mean Nat Phillips naturally steps up because he's the next in line? Or for you, is he not doing enough? Does it need to be Lagar Bielka or Mike Navrotsky or something surprising like that? Do let us know. James is on the line. How are you, James?
Yeah, I'm okay. What about yourself?
All good in here. Can't complain. What's your point tonight?
Thanks for having me on the show. But yeah, my point is I'm not a Motherwell fan, but I'm doing stadium tours around the stadium. That's my seventh stadium today with Motherwell. I've been keeping up with the last few weeks. And Motherwell today, it was shoddy by the team. Either the manager lost the dressing room or the players just don't want to play. Obviously, the first goal was a mistake by the goalkeeper. I don't know what he was doing. But the end of the fans didn't really look as if they were getting behind the manager, but they didn't really look as if they were wanting him out either. There was not a lot of booing around the stands.
Apathy, James. That's when it's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was more like the referee they were getting at today. To be honest with you, a few mistakes. I listen to the show all the time, and obviously the shot pulling comes up a lot from you. It's obviously Motherwell with a player shot pulled in the box today, and that wasn't a penalty. So I'm just a bit worried the fact that we're getting to the stage where one's a penalty, one's not. But especially today, there's all things.
See the thought, James. You made a really interesting point there about, you know, went to Motherwell and you think the players lost the dressing room or whatever. They're very bad at the moment, clearly. It's a terrible run. But do you think a team that scores 7 times in stoppage time this season, is that not the sign of a team that's still fighting for the manager, even though they're not doing very well? That shows a bit of character, does it not?
Yeah, so it does a bit. As a Celtic fan, I can't really moan about last-minute goals. We get them quite a lot. We used to anyway. But definitely, Motherwell today, they did show a fighting spirit. But I think it was half-hearted during the game. It seems to be that the last 10 minutes they woke up, started playing. So I'm not sure whether he's lost the dressing room or he's just the players just aren't playing for him in the first 80 minutes and then they wake up the last 10.
I love that from James because obviously most people phone in about their own team, but James has just gone to a game. He's touring the stadiums and his seventh venue took him to Fir Park. I don't know if he got much for his money, but it's still great to hear a perspective as well.
I think if we got the late goal today, James will remember vividly the late goal at Celtic Park, which is undoubtedly a defensive error from Celtic, but Motherwell hung in there having lost a very late goal, they didn't capitulate and they got a point at Celtic Park. I don't care whether it's draws that keep Motherwell up or anything else, but they are hanging in there for the manager. I would maintain that, and they are clawing their way out of this. It might not be exciting for the fans to watch, but who do you think you'll get in that will suddenly transform it?
It's probably too early to say they're clawing their way out, because I mean they're in it. But like we said, just if we're being specific about the criticism, if you want to say that run of results is not good enough, how could you argue? I mean, that's just staring you in the face. If the criticism specific is, you know, I think he's lost the dressing room, or the players not, that's the bit that maybe falls down when you look at the number of late goals they're scoring.
I don't think there's an argument for that, I've got to say. I don't think he's lost the dressing room. I don't think that the players are not playing for him. Obviously they're playing for him, because as you say there, the amount of late goals that they've had, they're just not good enough to now. He's tried everything with them. Change of formation, strikers, three strikers at one time, starting the game, you know, plenty of attacking options. He's just in a very, very bad run. And as much as I know what you're saying, they're digging in there with elite equalisers and they're getting a point. 5 points out of 39 isn't a good run for them. Dropping down the league today isn't a good run for them. I think the Motherwell fans will start to put a lot of pressure on. He's got two probably big, massive games coming up. I think St Mirren away and then Rangers.
I mean, the last three were massive, and it's 2 points out of them.
Yeah, those 5 points that Dad's talking about as well, you know, salvaged all from, or most of them from those late goals. So, I mean, they could have been in a whole lot worse off position than they are. And that's where Stuart Kettle will probably sit down with his team and try to look at the positives. And try to look what positive outcomes he's getting for his team. Definitely finish strong, but they just put themselves in a position where they never go ahead. I mean, Dundee was maybe the only time they did that, but surrendered the lead pretty quickly. He needs to get ahead and give himself a real opportunity. They're always just clawing to get back into games.
James said that it was a mistake from Liam Kelly. We've had a look at it, and
it's a mistake from Liam Kelly.
Not covering himself in glory at the moment, is he?
An absolute howler. I mean, it's a half-decent ball into the box, but a goalkeeper of Liam Kelly's standard should be doing much better with that. And it's all wee things like that are just adding up against Stuart Kettlewell just now. You know, and that's quite often the case. When you look at any manager who eventually gets a sack, probably the run of games just before that, you'll look at goals and there'll be own goals in there, and there'll be defensive blunders and everything just adding up against them at this minute. And today was no different with Liam Kelly.
Yeah, the Motherwell captain's coming in for a bit of criticism of that, there's no doubt. I think a lot of people are pointing a finger at him. Look, he is a good goalkeeper. Is he in good form just now? Probably not. The amount of goals that Motherwell are conceding is alarming for me. They can't keep a clean sheet at home, where that's where you dig yourself out the hole. If you're going to go and say, right, okay, we'll need to try and end this run of, you know, not winning games, we've got to be defensively solid, get a clean sheet, and hopefully can get something at the other end. Because they've showed, coming back from seven times, they've showed scoring three goals at Fir Park as well against Dundee and obviously Ross County. But they just can't keep a clean sheet. And I, as I say, I'm not here to, you know, promote managers getting the sack, but I think right now he will be a 50-50 for me whether he's still there.
But Kelly, Stuart Kettlewell seems to have changed every other position and does it regular, apart from Kelly. He's an ever-present.
Yeah, there's a few that survive, but I take your point.
Yeah. I mean, Spittle's obviously going to be on your side, but, you know, most of the other ones have been shifted about and, you know, played sometimes out of position or a change of shape, change of personnel. And Kelly's the constant in there. I wonder if he looks at today.
There's just a few things, though, I guess. Firstly, you have to be sure, and I have no idea because you never see him. You have to be sure your number two is better.
Yeah.
And you have to then handle the size of statement that is. He's your number one. He's a Scotland captain. International, and he's the club captain. I'm not saying that all makes it wrong, but it clearly makes it a bit more of a complex
decision. It makes
decision
it a big decision, us. That's yeah. what it makes it. It makes a big, and it's very easy. I know fans are crying out, no, give somebody else a chance. But when you're under pressure for your job and you're looking at these fixtures coming, as a manager, you rightly sit down and say, if it was my last game, what's my best team? And I still believe he thinks that Liam Kelly's still his best goalkeeper by far. You said it there, international goalie. Is he playing well just now? No, he's not. But he obviously doesn't have a lot of trust in his number two.
Thank you, James, on the line on 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB, if you'd like to get in touch. It's that stage on a Saturday. The managers have, by and large, spoken to the press. Not them all. I don't think Stuart Kettlewell has yet. I don't think Philippe Clement has yet. But Tony Docherty has. He's not happy about a few things from Ibrox, so we'll hopefully hear from him very soon as well. We can look back on today. We can look forward to tomorrow. Here's one then, if the Celtic fans do want involved for tomorrow. Does O simply have to stay in the team, Mark? Is that non-negotiable tomorrow?
I think it would dent his confidence if he was taken out. I mean, if you get a start and a rare start at that, and you score two goals and get praise from your manager, then you know you've every right to expect to play away at Rugby Park. So I would expect him to start. I just wonder, is there a possibility he plays them both? I thought the second half at McDermott Park, when Kyogo was just playing off O, it looked a lot better. But maybe he'll stick with Iwata and McGregor further forward. So it'll be interesting tomorrow. It just won't be as simple as other team selections we've seen for Celtic this year. Brendan Rodgers has a few headaches.
You want to get your thoughts in on that? Please do. Let's hear from, and we'll revisit that, of course. We'll build up to that one before we disappear this afternoon. I want to hear from Tony Docherty on the Rangers penalty. He's not happy with it. I'm sure it'll cause debate, because these things always do. This was his say.
I've got to say, I'm hugely disappointed in the decision to give the penalty kick and VAR's involvement in it, because I think the image that they presented to Kevin Glancy makes it, you know, favour towards, you know, the award being given. But, you know, if the reality of it is there's bustling in the box. Seymour's got a hold of Aaron Donnelly's shirt, two of them are bustling, and Kevin Glancy's deemed that to be okay. It gets drawn back. He then gets shown an image. You know, you've got to remember, a real pivotal moment in the game. It's one each. You know, it's the 25th minute. And when you come here, you know, you need to try and, decisions need to go for you, and that one went against us. So, really disappointed, because I thought it was a pivotal moment in the game. I thought we started the game really, really well. Everything I was looking for the team to do. We were gaining territory. We had a great opportunity. Lyle Cameron almost scores. We get the corner and we score from it. So, a good start to the game. And then Rangers come back into it, an unforced error by us. And that's just such a big decision that goes against us.
One man's opinion, it's a penalty. All day long, we've seen it many times this season. Hearts were guilty of it at Ibrox when they played Rangers there, the shirt pull. You know, the clue is in the title, video assistant referee. He assisted Kevin Clancy by saying, look, I think you've missed this. Let him see the incident. It's a clear-cut penalty.
My job can be pretty easy, because I just need to explain at times, remind everyone of the kind of process, and then you can decide if it's a penalty or not. That's not really up to me. So, as we said earlier, what sort of criteria do they look at for a shirt pull? Because the starting point has to be that not every shirt pull in the box is a penalty, because you would genuinely be there all day. So, you know, is it in the vicinity of the ball? Does the shirt pull make an impact on the player trying to get to it? I.e., does it stop him in his run? Does it stop him jumping properly? I mean, he might still get to the ball, of course, as Seema did, but does it put him off in such a way? Does it impact the way he gets to the ball? Is it prolonged shirt pulling? Is the player getting away from him? It doesn't have to be all of those things, but you know, that would be the sort of criteria. So with that in mind, Hugh thinks it's a penalty. What do you two think?
I would agree. I think Donnelly does have a hold of Seema's shirt, but it impacts, I think, the height that Seema, not you know, he doesn't pull him back. I think he pulls him down. And I think Seema's getting a better contact on it if Donnelly hasn't got hold of his shirt. So I disagree with Tony Docherty in that one.
I agree with Tony Docherty in the fact I thought Dundee started well. They had a good chance, scored the goal. 1-1, it is a big moment, it is a big decision. But it's a full house for me. I think looking at that, that's a penalty kick. And I think if that was up the other end, Tony Dock would be out shouting it was a penalty kick as well.
Always good to see Scotland internationals doing great things, and John McGinn tends to do great things. Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 0. It's a great goal as well. Back to goal, but 8-9 yards out, swivels and blasts it high into the net. It's a brilliant start for Villa and a great start for him. Let's bring in Nathan, who's a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm good.
What did you make of the game today?
It was good. It was a good game. It was a couple of good goals. I don't think that the goal should have been chopped off, but I do think that Sifuentes should have got sent off because it was quite a bad challenge.
There we go. Nathan's the youthful enthusiasm and able to admit that he feels Sifuentes should have been sent off. See, these things, they're not... See, Hugh, you've got society written off. You think everybody's blinded by team bias. Nathan has given a bit of faith back to your cynical outlook.
Out of the mouths of babes. He made two calls, young Nathan. They made two calls. One was absolutely correct. Sifuentes should have got sent off. The Cantwell goal, it was a foul in the lead up and the play had stopped.
Nathan, I agree with you 100%. I think the Cantwell goal should have stood. I didn't think there was enough in that.
And Gordon Dale even agrees with you as well, Nathan. Mm-hmm. When you get older, you'll realise that's not a good thing.
Nope.
Who impressed you most from a Rangers perspective today? Who impressed you?
I do like McCausland. He's going to grow up to be a good player. I think he's a little pass at the end to Barisic was very nice. Barisic couldn't keep up, stay on to it, and we lost the ball there. But we got a few shots in goal, and it was a good day.
This was never the spotlight before this game. In the context of the cup final, was more about Aberdeen and how they would arrive into it, just purely because most people expected Rangers to win, and they did. The one thing though that you would take into account for next week would be Sifuentes' red card suspension as it stands. And as usual, we don't really know how everyone came through it, because that's the thing about Rangers, they don't need to be visibly injured at the time. It sometimes then just appears midweek that they picked up some injury that rules them out. But certainly the Sifuentes one just leaves an interesting gap in there, because we know that Raskin's out and Jack's out at the moment and Lawrence is now out. So,
you know, you finish with, was it Sterling and King in the middle of the park? I don't see that happening next week. He may just tweak his system, Gordon. He may just go with the one sitting midfield player like Lundstrom, go with four in front and one up top. You know, he's a very active manager. We've seen that at half time. He decided to make the two substitutions very quickly. So I'll be interested to see the team next week. But it obviously gives someone who's been waiting for an opportunity a chance to play in a cup final.
Some big talking points today. Lots to look forward to tomorrow. Whatever you want, give us a shout. 01419511025. We'll speak to you and hear from more managers next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Still lots of debate about this penalty Rangers received. Paul's tweeted to say that Seema's holding the defender shirt. That impedes his motion towards the ball every bit as much as Seema. The ref was shown the angle from behind the goal, only showing one of them holding. Always nice to hear both sides of it, I suppose. It's actually for you three, it doesn't matter much, but I think you three think it was a penalty. You're not buying some of that, or, you know, is the forensic analysis of it, does it, you know, I think that's part of Tony Docherty's point. Is it, you know, depending what you're shown. Of course, there is a possibility we didn't see everything that the ref, so I don't really know how it works. I couldn't possibly speculate as to what whether Paul's got the same TV as you, Gordon DL, or anyone else, any other opposition fans out there who managed to watch the game. But that would be one counter argument. None of you having it?
No.
Well, the angle I've seen, the angle I've seen, it looked pretty conclusive to me. And I didn't quite see my having a hold of Donnelly's shirt. So,
how good's John McGinn?
Amazing.
Form of his life.
On a separate note.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the form of his life, and it's proof of why you should always have a boyfriend Clyde Bank in your team.
That's a good strategy, that, isn't it? Still, Villa 1, Arsenal 0. Might win an English Premier League winner's medal at this rate. But
they're sitting up there, second or third.
Flying. Right, okay. William's a Rangers fan. William, what's your opinion for the guys tonight?
First of all, Tony Docherty saying that's not a penalty. For me, he's lucky his players no sent off. It's a header on the 6 yard box, clear goal scoring opportunity for me, and he's tugged.
No, come on, another debate about penalty. You think it is, the guys agree. That's never a red card.
So
surely.
It's a 6 yard box header. I'm sitting right in the Broomley stand right behind it. His shirt's getting ripped off his back from where I'm sitting.
Maybe a slight exaggeration there.
No, but see, the thing is, you can, again, if it's a pull and a pull, you all think it is a penalty. That, in this life or the next, is never going down as an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
Not a chance at all. No, there's too much else going on. There's never, ever going to be any chance of that being a red card. So a penalty it was, but no more than that.
You're just agreeing on everything tonight.
Yeah, it's
very hard to put up an argument. But look, we'll go over a weekend and we'll study it and we'll watch it again, and I'll be very surprised if any change your opinion.
William, is there a frustration about the Cantwell goal, or what did you think of Cifuentes' red card as well? There was quite a lot in there.
I missed the Cifuentes' red card. I followed the ball, so see when the play went away. Yeah. I've not seen it. But from what I've been hearing, as I can't really argue, the Cantwell goal, we didn't even see where I'm sitting. We didn't even realise the game had been stopped for a free kick. Even after the goal, we were still celebrating it.
Yeah, this is where the in-stadium experience can skew your opinion, because the goal music played. Uh-huh. So straight away you just think a goal. Kevin Clancy, he certainly pulled it back in a lot of time, but whether you think that was right or not is a different issue.
Kevin,
I suspect,
you know, you argue over the merits of the foul, but Kevin Clancy goes towards the place, clearly stopped the game, and he goes towards the Dundee player.
Oh, I know, but people are arguing the merits of the foul. That's what people are doing. William, what about the kind of the football game side of it, the result, the performance, I guess the absence of Seema next week?
The game got ruined by the red card for me, but what I would say is Barisic got booked, but you can't argue for his booking for pulling back. But it was Dessers was through, the shirt was getting ripped off his back with the shirt pulling, and they were getting let go left, right and centre. I said, the second half was a terrible game of football, to be honest with you. The first half started okay as Rangers came into it, but the second half was just a terrible game of football. It was ruined by the red card. As I say, I've not seen the red card, and from where we sat, as it would look bad, Seema was getting ahead on the goal, as and then he's getting shots pulled.
That's fine. Listen, you guys can agree to disagree on that, no problem at all. What I have realised though is Kevin Clancy appears to have upset Rangers fans, Dundee fans, and everyone else who seems to have seen all the incidents as well, all at the same time, which is a bit
Philip
of a
Philip Clement as well, yeah, because he got booked as well.
I think that was based on the Barisic incident that William speaks about, or the perceived difference between the short pulls. Anyway, let's hear from, try and do a couple more managers quickly. What else have we got in here? I'll tell you what, I need to prioritise here because we've not got much time left. Do we have Philippe Clement yet? I think we might.
The team showed that they're a team, and I see this dressing room growing week by week in that way, and it's a crucial one. We're putting a lot of attention towards that also, because I know, and it's a very important thing for me, without a really strong dressing room where everybody fights for each other, where everybody's available for the team, you don't win trophies. Or you can maybe win with luck, but at the end you will lose more things. So I think you see, and everybody sees last couple of weeks, more and more this team sticking together in every sense. And for me, the best example is also players coming in, even playing in positions that they're not used of playing, but doing the job for the team and doing it really well.
So that's the reality of it. Mark, we know the picture at the top now. Rangers have cut the gap, but Celtic have the chance to respond tomorrow. When the roles were reversed last time and Celtic dropped points, Rangers couldn't capitalise. Look, we need to do this dance quite a few times, not only between now and the end of the season, but between now and the end of the year when they meet.
Yeah, it's a big one tomorrow for Celtic, because they're revisiting the place where their one defeat came this season in the League Cup. So they'll know the dangers of playing against Kilmarnock. But historically in the league, it's always been a successful ground for Celtic to go. They more often not pick up 3 points. But team selection is key. I think Celtic got a boost on Wednesday night when they changed things up and just freshened things up. The tempo went up. Iwata came in, did not too badly at all.
So he'll stay in?
You would think so. And that just releases Callum McGregor to go higher up the pitch. So it maybe solves that problem of who's the best out of Turnbull or Bernardo. Well, none of them. McGregor in that position. And
pecking order wise, quickly, would you assume Carter Vickers does sit out tomorrow if there's a concern on the hamstring and the pitch and all the rest of it?
I would say so.
Right. And so pecking order wise, it would be Nat Phillips. He's the one that's on the bench. He's the one that comes on. He also doesn't appear to be impressing the Celtic fans much.
No, and I'd have to agree with the Celtic fans on that one. I would like to see Navrotsky get a run out tomorrow, if possible. Now, he's been nowhere to be seen, and I wonder if he's carrying any injuries. But
how can the manager go from saying he's not ready to play to putting him in the team the same few days?
Oh, it wasn't a few days. That was at least 10 days ago. Maybe he's had a brilliant response to it. Maybe he lit the fire and he's gone. But he's going to play at some point. You seem to have it that because Brendan Rodgers said that, that means they will never be ready and they will never play.
No, I never said never be ready.
Surely
you
need to respond at some point.
I would find it very surprising if you go from that damning assessment of them to putting them in the team. And that's why I think there's a problem for Celtic there tomorrow. Scales will be fine.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to, and that's the point. Because he said the same about Marco Tilio, but Marco Tilio did come on against Motherwell because Brendan Rodgers said they don't have anyone else. He's going to have to play Nat Phillips or one of the other two, surely.
Well, the Celtic fans, I think, are taking a look at Nat Phillips and think he'll never do. But he'll have to do something, even if it's Iwata playing beside Liam Scales.
I don't think that'll happen.
Sure,
never in a million years. They've tried that experiment. It doesn't work. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Hugh, but if he's not going to play Phillips and they've no confidence in Phillips, they brought these guys in for big money. They need to play them sometime. I've just got a funny feeling he'll stick with Phillips tomorrow if Carter Vickers isn't in the starting line.
The thing about Celtic, if they play as they did in the first half last Sunday at St Johnstone, they'll drop points. If they play as they did in the second half at St Johnstone last Sunday, they'll be fine.
Or maybe they replicate the exact same thing and still win anyway, a half about.
Well, the manager who has lately taken to ranting will, I think, have to have a pre-match rant this time before they go out and go into a dwam, as can sometimes happen with them.
Killy have major midfield issues. David Watson, your favourite, the Prestwick Pirlo, he's suspended. Pretty much everyone else is injured. They don't have many central midfield options.
You know one thing about them, they'll be well organised. They get a terrific result midweek.
Hard enough to do that though, isn't it, when those guys who like solidify your engine room are not there.
But you look at Derek, he threw on young Watson Wednesday night and he got a terrific goal, terrific winner. Sometimes you've just got to give people a chance and an opportunity to go out and show what you can do. I think that'll be a very difficult game tomorrow. I'm going down, I'm looking forward to it. Watch the game of football.
Yeah. Freeloader.
Ask him where he's sitting, Gordon.
I'm sitting in a nice seat. Yes, I'm in beside
you're
the
wear
Celtic.
That terrible shirt and tie.
Yes, that'll be on Instagram for everyone to see tomorrow.
By the way, David Watson started the other night.
I thought that. Yeah.
David
Watson, he's been one of the players of the season for Kilmarnock.
Sorry, my apologies, David.
If you can.
Top of the league, Rangers reduce the gap, and that puts pressure on Celtic tomorrow. Bottom of the league, great day for Barry Robson. Another horrible day for Livy. 7 defeats on the bounds. 10 hours now without a goal. And Motherwell, the jury is still out on Stuart Kettlewell. Is a draw sufficient? Is that enough when you have no wins in your last 13 games? Motherwell either act tonight or leave the man in peace.
Thank you very much for listening. Another enjoyable afternoon. Big game tomorrow, then we're back on Monday night to look back on it all. Make sure you join us then. And there's only one man for your festive Saturday night on here. GBX is up next.